Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
So I'm continuing one more in the series of Position Yourself for Greatness, because we're going to honor the things that I should do, I will. And so today's I will is I will honor our source. I will honor my source. We will honor our source. And how are we going to do that? We're going to commit to intercession. Commit to intercession. How do we honor our source? One of the ways is to commit to prayer, but today I'm talking specifically about intercession. Because there are times where, like, I don't need to come and pray because I have no needs, but that is not the fullness of walking as a believer of Christ. When we're children of God, we commit not only to praying for ourselves, but we commit to intercession. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 says this, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." That's in our weak times, weak moments, weak everything. He helps us. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. The Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony. Did you hear that? In harmony. That's a beautiful word. Harmony. The Spirit pleads for us. So there are times when we're like, well, I don't know what to pray. Well, if we position ourselves in prayer, and if we commit to praying, and if we come together to pray, the Spirit will weave within our spirit what we need to pray according to God's will. It's not always what you know. It's what God wants to reveal to us, so that we are the visible mouthpiece that speak and declare the authority of God over the nation and over our situations. Another text, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4. It says this, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them." That sometimes is a little hard, but he says, do it anyways. Give God thanks for them. "Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." This is what's missing in society today, is what? Godliness and dignity. How is it going to be restored? A government's not going to put it in place. Our prayers is going to turn the handle and bring it to the place where authority, kings and leaders will recognize that because we believers want to live a peaceful life, that the lifestyle that we should adhere to should be one of godliness and dignity. "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." Folks, may we never forget this key point. God wants everyone. Someone's or just a few, my family or my friends. Is that it? God wants everyone to be saved. And sometimes we forget that salvation is not just for us, but it's for the everyone. God wants everyone to understand the truth. What is truth? Christ is truth. Jesus Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life. And so we've got to remember that God has given us all the blessings. John chapter 17, I'll mention it later in the message. It's a full passage on Jesus praying for the believers. He says, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from evil." Jesus was asking God, don't take us out of the mess that we're living in, but keep us from the evil of the mess. He says, "Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world." So Jesus speaking to God, "God, the way you sent me in human flesh to walk amongst humanity, so I'm now leaving these humans in the world, but I'm not leaving them alone. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. And then he says in verse 20, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So as I preached last week, our influence, our honor your testimony. People should be saved because of our testimony. People should be saved because of our influence. And we should never be so consumed just about ourselves, because Jesus is interceding for us and the Holy Spirit is groaning on our behalf. We're protected. Can I hear an amen this morning? So the question then is, what is intercessory prayer? What is intercession? Intercession is the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another person, a group, a people, a church, a community, and a nation. That is intercession, on behalf. Intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of others. When we do this in love or in righteous indignation, there's two ways to pray in intercession. We can pray in love, and that's how we should bring people to Christ. By the love, they will know us. But there's also a righteous indignation. Love is God, because you want all people to be saved. I'm praying for that person that's so rebellious, so evil. We pray in love, but righteous indignation is when there are things that are coming against the law of God, and we go into intercession and we say, in the name of Jesus, devil, no. That's a righteous indignation. So we have both parameters to pray and to petition God so that we prevent the results that are ensuing. There are results coming from the lifestyle of our society today, but we have been positioned by God to be in the place to prevent it by the power of our prayer. And that's called standing in the gap. Standing in the gap means take up your position for another. And I'm calling on this church this week to come in-house and take up your position for another. It's not only for ourselves we must pray. The Bible tells us clearly as the passages I just read. But we must stand in the gap. And God delights in fighting through us. Why? He's put us in the mission. Do you realize that throughout the many scriptures we see in the Bible, if you just take Exodus with Moses, why did God not just release the children of Israel out of Egypt? Do you know why he didn't just release them? They would say, oh, look, sir, what is the word? Coincidentally, Pharaoh let us go. Isn't that what we do all the time? So why does he work through us humans? Because we are the living representation of Christ's working power through his people. That's what he said. Moses, throw your rod down, and it will become a serpent. Exodus 7, Moses threw the rod down, and what happened? It became a serpent. But the world likes to counteract and fight. I read yesterday in the Leadership Development Day that one of the writers says, the church is fighting the heaviest headwinds it has ever encountered, and it needs the force of everyone to push against the headwind and make it our tailwind. Moses threw his rod down. Do you know what Pharaoh says? Ugh, these days we can do that. We can mass manipulate anything. We got AI coming to reposition conversation and intelligence and everything. And so they throw their rod down. But I keep reminding you, AI is going to do a lot of mass destruction while it does some good. But one thing it will not replicate. AI can't replicate the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the joy that we have. So when they threw down, the magicians threw down their rods, and it also became serpent, because the devil can counterfeit everything. But when you are an intercessor, when you're like a Moses that know that God spoke to you, they can throw down all they want. So Moses threw his down. Aaron threw his down. They threw theirs down. And then the magicians threw theirs down. A lot of snakes are on the ground. But when all the snakes encountered each other, God rose up inside of the stick and said, let me show you who's got the final answer. My God has the final answer. And no matter what's going on in society, may we never forget, it's not over, because we have a revelation written already that tells us how it will end. So we stand in the gap because of that. And most times, we're also standing for people who can't pray for themselves. There are people in the battle that are so beaten, so stressed, they don't even have the strength to call on God for themselves. We stand in the gap for them. There are people who want to cry out, but they don't know how to cry out. We stand in the gap for them. Do you realize that even in sports, when an athlete, what happens in all the games you watch, basketball, hockey, whatever, what happens when even the most powerful player gets tired? What do they do? What do they do? They send in what? Relief. Folks, sometimes your being in the gap is you being relief for somebody else. You can't always think, oh, this one's such a powerful prayer warrior, they don't need anything. Everybody needs relief. And you, they don't always send in the star player at the end. Sometimes the star player is playing the whole game, and they've been playing so long, they're fatigued. Can I tell you, there have been a small number of people holding up prayer in the church, and they become fatigued. Now you become relief and get up and get in the house and pray unto God and let something happen. But conversely, there's also those who do not know God at all, those who refuse to call on the God of heaven, those who don't even know they're in a battle, those who don't even know what prayer is, and those who are delighting in wreaking havoc against the church. And God says, I still want you to intercede on their behalf. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give God thanks for them. Pray for kings. Pray for authority. Pray that we live a peaceful life. Pray that we have dignity in the society we live in. And pray that God Godliness is restored. Godliness has been stripped, but godliness must be restored. It's what pleases God, our Savior. It's what will cause many to be saved. So, folks, we're going to pray. Intercession covers all scenarios. There is not a scenario that intercession doesn't cover. So we pray for others. And how do we pray? We pray without ceasing. We pray without ceasing. Couple of stories I want to throw at you this morning. In Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to 42, Jesus heals this demon-possessed boy. What happened? The disciples and the crowd, they were all just gathered, and a man came in the crowd, called out, teacher, calling to Jesus, I beg you, look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream, throws him into convulsion that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. Do you hear this? This is what's going on with society, battered and hardly left alone. It's this demonic forces that it's taking over generation. And he says, I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't. I'm getting to verse 41 in a minute. Can I tell you, it's the force of prayer that keeps the strength of prayer. Many of you have been relying on the few intercessors in the house, but it's the force. Even if you can't pray, show up and let the devil count the numbers. So Jesus, when he heard the man pleading about the convulsion and the evil spirit and everything that's consuming this man's son, Jesus says, you faithless, verse 41, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you? And then he said, bring the son. And he brought the boy, they brought him forward, he cast the demon out. What's Jesus? Jesus is speaking to the church right here. He's saying, listen now, I came down from heaven. I'll demonstrate to you the power of God. The least you can do is fast and pray, or believe heartily. Do something. Be nonstop in prayer. Be intense in prayer. Be visual in prayer. Sometimes we close our eyes to the sickness because we don't want to see it. It's going to go away. It's not going away until we pray it away. Open your eyes and see the debauchery of society. He said, we brought our son and the disciples couldn't. Why? Because there's a weakness now in the church, because there's not a collaboration and a lot of cooperation. We instead like to judge everything, to cut down everything, decide what is good and what is bad. Why don't we just shut up and show up and watch what God will do? We must make deep and desperate cries for relief from the enemy against the strategies the enemy's using against our children. Does anyone know their strategies against our children? Does this church realize online and in-house there are strategies, deep and evil strategies against our children? So do we just sit back and say there's deep and evil strategies against our children? What am I going to do? I'm just one. I'm one with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm one that the Spirit is groaning through. I'm one with a mouth that can speak to the evil and say, in the name of Jesus, you will not win. There was only one Moses, but he delivered a million out of Egypt. Folks, we got to pray for others without ceasing. They used to use the word, which we lost, but we need to get it back. It was called push. You know what push means? Say it out loud. For those of you that never heard push, put it in your whatever social meme you use. Get one for that. Push. Push. And when you put push, put what it means. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 30, there was a mother that came, and she was passionate for her child. Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to Jesus crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Did you hear what we can do sometimes? Send the problem away from the church because we don't want it in the church because we are cute. We want everything to make us only look good. Folks, this mother was like, I'm sorry, my daughter's demon-possessed, and I'm not even from the kingdom of God. I am from Canaan, where they are pagans, but even as a pagan woman, I could see what the devil's doing to my child. And the church said, send her away. Jesus did not answer a word. That's when he's mad. So his disciples came and urged him, send her away. And he answers, I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. This is a whole message. I won't break it down. We've preached from Mark already. What Jesus was saying is, I'm going to test you to see where we're going, to see if you're desperate enough. He's just saying, it's not the time, but let's see how far you'll push. There are times you didn't get the answer the first time. Do you know what you got to do? Go back again. That's what she did. She's like, listen to me. Here it is, verse 27. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I love verse 28. Then... there comes a time when there's a then. When you're desperate enough, a then comes. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted and your daughter is healed. She was healed in that moment. You got to sometimes push. Push until the then comes. Then. And when the then came, the woman could walk away. True intercession is when you will pray and don't care about who's looking. When nothing else matters. When the answer, seeing a generation released from the devil's clutches, is more powerful to you than how presentable you are. Then is when you're like, I don't care, God, if I have to roll down with the dogs. But the devil's gonna let go this generation, for they don't belong to him. We've got to have deep, desperate cry of relief for the enemy's strategy against our children. Intercede. If you don't have anything to pray about, you've got lots to pray, then you got room to pray. Intercede for the next generation. This week I had to do a pastor's conference online for another denomination. It was just a quick thing that I had to do. And they introduced at the top of it, it wasn't the PAOC, it was another denomination, a Pentecostal denomination. And they introduced at the top of it a woman, a Muslim woman, who started a movement. And she shared her testimony for about 10 minutes. She has been persecuted. She has had death threats. She has had things done to her. And all for one reason, because she's leading a movement with the Muslim women that says, hands off our kids. And she came into this Pentecostal pastors. It was over 100 plus pastors across Canada. She was allowed to come in because she said, I'm not running a religious movement. She goes, I'm Muslim because that's my religion. She goes, but I'm not running that. And her website is Hands Off Our Kids. She goes, what I'm doing is I'm working a movement with mothers who are mad. She says, we cannot allow the system to tell us how we raise our children and what sexuality they are. And she is fighting. Mothers, don't become Muslim if you don't want to. No, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she respected that. Do you know what? She stayed on the entire call, even while I preach and another evangelist preach. She stayed on to respect and honor to say, I'm not about religion. I'm about a fight right now. Folks, we're going to have to get desperate enough to not just join it in words. And do you see what the school system doing? Do you see how they forced our kids to accept everything? Do you see you can't bring the Bible in, but you can bring everything else in. You can't stand up and say, Jesus, they'll kick our kids out of school. But you can come in every orientation. They started at A, they've completed Z, now they're adding numbers. And we're supposed to say, we are the quiet bunch because we're Jesus people. Can I tell you what Jesus would have done? He would have cast some spirits out, but we don't have enough power to do it because we've not joined forces enough to do it. It's time we take a stand in the power of the Spirit. We will not have a voice until there's a fear of God because of the power of our prayer. Folks, can I say it again? When we are a church, clean up all the foolishness now. It's time to roll down with the dogs. It's time. Oh, glory to God. Folks, don't be consumed with yourself and neglect our spiritual mission. Part of our spiritual mission is intercession. John 17, what does it say? Jesus is praying for? Who is he praying for? Who's Jesus praying for? I need you to know it yourself. Who is Jesus praying for? He sits at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for us. Aren't I good? I'm all right then. If Jesus is praying for us, and if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, October, we'll be having another Holy Spirit seminar. It is important that you get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's important you understand the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We will do that in October. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is groaning through us. So therefore, we have the blessings of living a life of prayer intercession. And when we live in that life, there's something that overcomes us. They call it the fog. Y'all know what the fog is? No? Let me tell you what the fog is. The fog is the favor of God. I love living in the fog. You see, when you are an intercessor, doesn't mean you won't have problems, but even in your problems, you're still in the fog. Don't mean you don't have some hell in your house, but even in the hell in your house, you're still in the fog. You're still walking in the favor of God. You know why? That thing came to destroy, but it didn't destroy because you're in the fog. That king came to strip you down and make you think God is not working. But when you're in the fog, you begin to see he's always with you. God, I need to be enveloped in the fog of the Holy Ghost. So the favor goes with me. Do you know what, folks? God's favor goes before you. Bible says, Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. The Lord delights in every detail of our lives. That's Psalm 37. Every detail of our life. The fog is beside you. God protects on the right and on the left. Psalm 91:7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. The fog is below you. He says the enemies will be planted under your feet. Psalm 18:39. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You've subdued my enemies. The fog is behind you. Surely Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. The fog is above you. He will crown your head with joy. Isaiah 35:10. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. He didn't say that you won't have problems before you, behind you, above you, or below you, but he said whichever way the enemy comes, God has already raised up a standard against him. So when you know how much God has done for you, would you please begin to pray? Prayer is the nucleus of and for life. It is the nucleus, the center, the orientation. It is everything. Intercession releases victories, and intercession covers all scenarios. So when you're a child of God, you don't battle for yourself. The battle belongs to the Lord, but you get in the battle. So when the enemy says, who did that? You'll say, let me tell you who did it. It's the God I was praying to. When your family goes, oh, coincidentally this changed. No, there's no coincidence. You couldn't get a job if you tried 10,000 times. I prayed for you, and God has delivered you. Ah, you're lying in bed sick as a dog, but look what God has done. He's going to raise you up. Prayers matter. And folks, God fights in our battles. We're the human representation. When David showed up, he didn't show up and go, I, David, am so good. He says, listen, Goliath, you come to me with all that you've got on, but I'm coming to you. How? How am I coming? I'm coming to you, what? In the name of the Lord God of hosts. We're going to have to get that back in our spirit and begin to intercede for our nation. How far should we go before we get concerned? We've gotten far enough. Oh, God. Intercessors, you develop personal characteristics of courage, steadfastness, endurance, and consecration and self-sacrifice. Okay? I think I've got those there. Intercessors develop personal characteristics of courage, of steadfastness, of endurance, of consecration, and of self-sacrifice. When you intercede, God intervenes. When you intercede, God intervenes. I should have put that in the notes, but you can write that, tweak that, send that to Elon, would you? Somebody do that one for me. When you intercede, what happens? We're just the human representation of what God wants to do. Because when he puts the sun up there and nobody speaks about the sun, people worship the sun. If he moves the moon, they're like, oh, look, it's called a nuclear. And they take God out of it. Somebody discovered this. I mean, come on, my God put it up there. What do you think? It's been there all the time. Folks, we're just representatives of what God is going to do. So I encourage you this morning. I encourage you. Do not be afraid or dismayed, Chronicles says, because of the great multitude of evil that you see. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. The battle is not ours, it is whose? The Lord's. Every person can be an intercessor. No, every person should and must be an intercessor. Every person must be an intercessor. And you're like, but intercessors are those people who come to the altar every Sunday to pray for us. Yeah, they're just a little bit more groomed in it because they've been through some hell. Right. Every single person can be an intercessor. How? Stop just praying for yourself and start praying for others. And when you begin to pray for others, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find the sweetness of the fog. Do you know what it's like to walk in the fog? It's when you even look at the lately, if you all noticed lately, the paycheck isn't cutting at all. And you look in the bank account and you're like, God, what am I going to do? And then you show up and everything you want is on sale. Fog. Because you showed up at the right place at the right time. Little things. Little things. I ran from here yesterday and I had to dash into a store. And nowadays we don't have coins. Come on, guys, get ready. We don't have coins or anything. And I just dashed in and I was trying to get a cart because I need to get a case of water. And there was... I didn't have any coins, and you're standing there, you know these things, you're going, what do? I have no coins. And as I'm standing there, a lady goes, would you like this cart? I said, sure, thanks. So, and it didn't have a coin in it either, she had gotten it, so she gave it to me, I went in. I came out, and I'm going to put it back, and another lady came, I said, don't put it in this, it doesn't have a coin, and she goes, neither does mine, and then she goes, isn't God good? Folks, the fog... The favor of God is when we begin to just keep praying for others, the Holy One who's praying for us takes care of the needs that we're so troubled. If we stay troubled on our needs, we can't see nothing. That's why the world got into a mess and the church didn't see much of it. Because we were so consumed, because the devil, he's going to keep throwing it. He's throwing it to distract us. So the more he throws it, you say, devil, you threw this one? I'm going to pray for somebody today until it hurts. Oh, glory to God.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.